You know, some of us maybe more than others, and some of us at different times can feel like life is a battle. You know, I think there's times when, you know, maybe most anybody can say, wow, life is a battle. Life is a fight. And sometimes more than others, and for some people at different times more than others. But I really believe that life is a fight. Life is a fight. That we really are in a battle. We really are in a battle. And I think it's maybe especially for Christians sometimes. You know, maybe sometimes we think, well, if we become a Christian, we'll get out of all the fighting and all the battles. But I think sometimes, even as a Christian, maybe more so, that we're faced with different things that we have to deal with. In 1 Timothy 6:12, the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He says, fight the good fight. You know, we're to fight. And we're to fight a good fight. And we're to fight it, the fight of faith. You know, I believe that, you know, there's just various things we have to fight. You know, and sometimes maybe if we're not fighting, maybe we're missing something. Maybe we're missing something. What are we fighting and what are we not fighting? Well, Ephesians 6:12 says we don't fight against flesh and blood. So our fight is not against people. So we have to kind of get that figured out in our heads that, you know, people aren't who we're fighting. Now, it seems like that a lot of times, but it is not people. We are not fighting against flesh and blood. Our fight is against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. We're not fighting people. We're to love, serve, encourage people. So we don't fight people. But we are in a battle against forces. There are forces out to destroy us. Jesus once said that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We have an enemy. We're in a fight. And this enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy us. One of the dangers, if you think you're not in a fight, one of the dangers is, well, that if I'm not in a fight, does the enemy think he's already got me? And so I believe that we need to realize that, you know, as we fight that we have this enemy out there. And this enemy is out to discourage. Probably for a lot of times for the Christian, discouragement is one of the biggest battles. That's a fight, discouragement. You get discouraged sometimes. You know, you can get discouraged doing what you think God wants once in a while. Sometimes we get result focused and we think about, well, this is what I want to see happen. And we can kind of forget that we just are to do what God's called us to do and let him take care of the rest. So we're continually fighting. We're continually fighting forces at work around us. In 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, the 7th verse, Paul again says, at the end of his life, he says, I fought the good fight. I finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. Not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul said he was in a fight. I fought the good fight. So it sounds like that there's a fight. There's a fight that Christians go on through, that we partake in, that we have to deal with. And we fight the good fight. And Paul said we fight it to the end. You know, today we're having baptism. And I'm going to talk about it probably a little bit more, but you know, baptism is towards the beginning of a walk. But you know, baptism is just the beginning, just like getting saved is a beginning. We make confessions. We say, this is what I believe. But let me tell you, you got to fight the fight to the end. You got to fight the fight to the end. You can't just say, well, that was a nice start. Paul says he fought the fight. He run the race. You know, if you do a great start at a race and it's a mile race, you can do a great start. But if you quit, you don't get any prize. And I believe it's that way with Christians. You know, we start, we run the race, but we run it to the end. We fight the fight to the end. And so I believe that we have to remember that and not just think, well, okay, I got that done. Sometimes I think there's a danger of Christians thinking, well, I got saved, so now everything's okay. I can just go on with life and it'll all turn out okay. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, Jesus says, at the end times, there's many false prophets going to rise up and deceive many. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. He who endures to the end, he who fights the fight to the end will be saved. So we have to think about as a Christian that we're in a marathon. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. We're running the race to the end. He who endures to the end will be saved. You know, most everybody gets a great start. Like a lot of things, you know, we do a lot of things and we approach a lot of things in life and we do great starts. We have good intentions. But it's he who makes it to the end. The one who makes it to the end is the one who gets saved. So I believe as Christians we have to aggressively approach a lot of things in our life. There's a lot of things that I believe we have to get aggressive with. And one of the things we have to get really aggressive with is me and you. One of the areas that I think we have to get real aggressive with and a lot of times fight is our natural man. You know, all of us have a spiritual man and a natural man. There's a part of us that wants to follow God, and there's a part of us that goes, oh, I don't know, I think I'd rather do something else. And that part of us is always a pull. And sometimes I believe we have to get aggressive with that part of us. We have to take real strong action. I believe a lot of times that's where Christians really fail, when they don't really get aggressive with that sinful nature, that weakness, that things that are difficult. Because it's hard. It's a fight. It's a fight. And this enemy that we're fighting against doesn't want to quit. He wants to keep coming at us. And I think every once in a while he'll pull back a little bit, so we think maybe he's gone and everything's okay, and then we get surprised. Oh, there it is again. There it is again. 1 Corinthians 9:26. Paul said, I run like this, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But then he says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul says, I run, not with uncertainty. I don't do this kind of wishy-washy, but he says, I fight. Not like somebody's just fighting at the air, you know, kind of just flailing around. But he says, I fight. And then what does he say he does? He says, the next statement is, I discipline my body. I discipline who? I discipline myself. In this fight, I have to discipline myself. It's not with other people, but I have to take into consideration myself. What do I consider? Well, usually when I think about myself, there's a part of me that doesn't want to do what God wants. There's a part of me that wants to please itself. There's a part of me that says, what's in it for me? There's a part of me that says, well, I hope I'm going to be happy. There's a part of it that says, well, I hope this isn't going to be too hard. There's a part of us that wants to just have it easy. My natural man resists what God wants. My natural man resists God's word. I don't know how many people say, well, I meant to read God's word. I know I should read God's word, but I just have trouble doing it. I have trouble finding time. I want to tell you, the reason you can't read and don't read God's word is because of your natural man. Your natural man says, hey, let's take a nap. Your natural man says, let's watch TV. Your natural man says, well, no, you can do that later. Your natural man has all kinds of excuses why not to read God's word. Your natural man says, well, you know, let's just do what's nice for you. You don't have to seek God and do what he wants. Just do whatever makes you happy. Isn't that what life's all about anyway? Just so you're happy, you know, so you're comfortable, so things work out the way you want. Isn't that God's purpose? Isn't that what he's supposed to do? That he's just supposed to do all the things that make me happy? You know, isn't that why some people become Christians? I believe there's a lot of people that become Christians because they think if I become a Christian, life will get better. You become a Christian, life could get worse. That's not a good selling point. That's not like, oh, hey, put up a big sign, you know, come be a Christian, life will get worse. You know? But sometimes it, you know why it gets worse? Because a lot of times God starts dealing with me. And he starts dealing with my flesh and my desires. And now all of a sudden I think, whoa, it's worse. Because my natural man is now unhappy. And I think, wow, it's worse. And so we have to realize that we're in this fight. And it's not always easy. It's not always easy doing the right thing. Think about it. You know, it's easy doing the wrong thing. It's easy. And you know, let me share some real simple examples. There's a real fight when you think about eating the right thing. Let's just, you know, let's get it down to where we can kind of get a hold of it. You know, sometimes it's hard. It's hard to eat the right thing. That's pretty simple, you know, but it's hard. It's hard sometimes deciding. I can decide. That's easy. How many people start diets? Start them all the time. You know, that's not hard. It's easy to start a diet. What's the hard part? Disciplining myself. The best diet in the world is to eat the right thing the rest of your life. Yeah, that's discipline. It's a fight. Drinking the right things. Taking time to pray. Like I said, you know, how hard is it to set aside time to pray? To quiet yourself down enough to be able to pray and listen. It takes discipline. It's a fight. Taking time to read God's word, and not just read it. You know, you can read God's word a couple different ways. You can say, well, I'm going to read God's word, and you sit down and you get your Bible out and you read a chapter and you zip through it and get that job done. Because I got to get on to other things. So you zip through it and read God's word, you read a chapter and you go, okay, I did my job. I believe that's okay. But I believe it's better to take your time and meditate and read it and meditate and hear what it's saying to me. That's discipline. That takes discipline. It takes discipline to love my wife like Christ loves the church. It takes discipline. Husbands, the Bible says, husbands, love your wife like Christ loves the church. And all the husbands say, yes, I love my wife. I've yet to have a husband that came to counseling that didn't say, well, maybe I can't think back. But anyway, most of the time they will say, yes, I love my wife. If I ask the wife, they will say, well, no. Where's the difference? It's in the actions. It's what we do. It's the discipline part of it. It's easy to say, I love you. But then to have the right actions, to show, to serve, to give, as Christ loved the church. Loving my wife is easy. As Christ loved the church, it takes discipline. And you're going to fight to do that. You're going to fight because it's going to go against your natural man. And then we say to the wife, well, submit to your husband. Well, now, wait a minute. You don't know my husband. Submit to my husband? Let me tell you. And my flesh will tell you all the reasons I don't have to submit to my husband because he's a jerk. Now, nobody would say that. They would say worse. I was being nice. Who's the discipline now? Oh, you mean I have to trust God? The Bible says he will be won by your chaste behavior. Oh, my. Now you're in a fight. Now you're in a fight. Not with flesh and blood. But you're in a fight with principalities and powers and forces out to destroy you and your marriage. And that's a fight. That's a fight. That's a fight. And that's a fight a lot of people don't want to go through. I believe that's personally, I believe that's why divorce is so high. Because it's easier to get out than to fight. It's easier to get out. It's not worth it. I'm not going through that. And why should I? It's not my fault. You know? Now, I understand there's other reasons, there's legitimate reasons. I understand all that. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of times when it's just, I don't want to go through that. I don't want to go through that. I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight the fight. Sometimes we have to fight when it comes to serving others, giving of ourselves. I believe that I know for a fact there was people who worked at Vacation Bible School that gave of themselves. And I always say, I talked to my friend Pat Kleitzen, and I was amazed. He said their Bible school in Buffalo, they have it from 9 to 12 in the morning. Every day, a full week, 9 to 12 in the morning. And I said, how do you get anybody to come? Who, number one, how do you, you know, aren't, isn't, don't your people work? Don't they work? Aren't the other people working? Well, somebody, the workers and the people, somebody's made some kind of a commitment. Somebody's disciplined. That's the way they do it. And I didn't ask him about numbers, but, you know, he has a couple hundred kids on Sunday, so I'll bet you he has a pretty big Bible school. Why? Because somebody paid a price. Somebody paid a price. For us, you know, there was a lot of our people that work, you know, they worked all day. Now, when you work all day, is the last thing you want to do come and watch over 10, 15, 20 kids that are squirming and running all kinds of directions? You know, you got to be willing to fight. You got to be willing to pay a price. You got to be willing to lay down your life to serve others. So there's a price to pay. Turn to Mark, the 9th chapter. In Mark, the 9th chapter, the 28th verse and the 29th verse. Prior to this, a man brought his son to Jesus. And his son was throwing himself into the fire and trying to destroy himself. And so the man brought him to Jesus that Jesus might pray for him. Because the disciples couldn't do anything. The disciples, they couldn't do anything. And so Jesus delivers the boy. And then after that, now he explains to the disciples what happened. And in Mark, the 9th chapter, the 27th verse, Jesus took him by the hand, he lifted him up, and he rose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? You know, they're saying, well, why couldn't we cast it out? You know, you sent us out one time and we prayed for people and saw all kinds of things happen. They said, we saw Satan fall like from heaven and we just saw all kinds of miracles. And now we run into this case and we couldn't do anything. How's come? And Jesus said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. You want to get in a fight? Pray and fast. Pray and fast. To me, it says there are things in life that are big. that are big. And if you run into those things, you need to get in the fight. And sometimes that means praying and fasting. Praying and fasting. How serious are you about the fight? How serious are you about what you're facing? How much are you willing to fight and put into the fight? Jesus said there's some things in life you're going to face that only going to change by prayer and fasting. And that's a discipline. That's a discipline. That's not a one day pray and I hope it gets better. Prayer and fasting means you're in a fight. You're in a fight. And you're in a fight to the end. One of the things that I have found is when you're in a fight, that a lot of times right before the end, it intensifies. This is just a personal observation. Right before the end, it intensifies. Why? Because I believe the enemy wants to discourage you so you'll quit. So when it intensifies, push harder. Don't give up when it intensifies. That's no time to quit, because that's usually what happens. Right before the end, it intensifies. So I think we all can think about, what are you struggling with? And you know, you might say, well, nothing. Well, I'll bet if you look enough, you'll find something. And I'm not saying we should just go around digging for trouble. You know, if it doesn't appear real easy, don't go making up stuff. You know, we don't need to do that. But I think we have struggles. And what I think is, if we don't have struggles, I'll bet if you listen, you can intercede for somebody else. I'll just bet if you listen a little bit, you'll hear somebody else's fight. And if you don't have one for yourself, intercede for somebody else. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for their battle. Pray for what they're going through. Because we're in a fight. We're in a fight. We're in a fight, not physical. We're in a war, but not with this world. You know, we sing that once in a while. You know, it's true. We're in a fight, not physical. We're in a war, but not with this world. And so as Christians, we need to be aware of that. I am convinced that as we see things going bad around us, that Christians have to take responsibility. Because I think we're the salt of the earth. We're the salt. We're the light to the world. If things are going down, maybe we're not fighting like we should. Maybe we've just become complacent. Maybe we just sat back and enjoyed the good life like the rest of the world around us. Interesting, my granddaughter's been in Dominican Republic, and she just sent a little thing to us this week, and she's at the end of the week, she's coming home today, and she sent a little thing. She said, first part of the week, we were in a lot of poor areas. And she says, people were so responsive to the gospel. And she says, Friday we went to an affluent part of the city. And she says, it was hard to get people to respond. Hard to get people to respond because they thought they had it all. Isn't that kind of where we're at in America? Isn't that kind of where we're at? We've got it all. We've got it all. We've got everything. You know, or so we think. You know, but you can have everything and have nothing, but not know it. And sometimes I believe that's because the Christians quit fighting, that maybe we just got complacent. We sat back and enjoyed the things of the world. You know, this isn't, but you know, I thought as I was a child growing up, you know, the church, we sang Onward Christian Soldiers. And that was always kind of a favorite song, probably because of the music or the beat. I don't know if I cared so much about being a soldier, but you know, but it was, but now I think back and I think, oh, that was a thought about being in a fight. As Christians, we have a cause, we have a fight. And we need to be involved, actively participating in that fight. We have an enemy out to kill, steal, and destroy. And we need to fight him every day, every day. Today we've got four individuals coming to be baptized. And you know, baptism is a beginning. It's the beginning of a walk with Christ. We come to Christ, we know our need, you know, we feel a need of some kind, you know. We feel a need because we've sinned, we've messed up. We know we need a Savior. We feel a need. We feel like, I need forgiveness. I need, I've heard the gospel. I've heard that I have a need. And then we accept what God did for us. We have to accept, well, if I have this need, how's this need going to get met? Well, I accept the fact that God sent Jesus to meet that need. He sent Jesus to meet that need. He paid the price, shed his blood to pay the price for my sin. And then we identify with Christ. We say, yeah, I want to be a part of that. I want to receive that. And then we make a public confession. I believe baptism is a public confession. You know, it's a public statement. This is what I believe. In some countries, when you make that statement, you are thrown out of the family. All kinds of things happen. You can say whatever you want, but they say the minute you're baptized and make that public statement, then you're done. But I believe then we work out our salvation. You know, my works don't get my salvation, but I work out my salvation. The Bible says with fear and trembling. Wow. I mean, that sounds real serious. Sounds real serious that I make this statement and then I have to work it out with fear and trembling. I have to fight a fight. I have to run a race. I have to continue to the end. This isn't the end. This is the beginning. And so today, as these folks come up, they're going to make a public statement of their faith. They're going to say, this is what I believe. And then after they make that statement, we're going to dismiss. I will pray. And let me say this. If you have a need for prayer today, Rose and Jim, I'll have them stay here. And you can get prayer. It'll take us a while to get ready. And, you know, a couple minutes. Don't think it's going to be 15 minutes. Don't take me long. But it'll take us a little bit. We'll go down to the pond right out here by the drive. And we'll have the baptism. If you're still praying with Rose and Jim, just stay here. Just stay here. You know, the rest of us will go get baptized. You know, your prayer request, you can pray. They can pray for you. And then we'll have the baptism and we'll be dismissed from there. So right now, I would like those that are going to get baptized to come forward. Colton Rose, come on up front, Colton. And all right. Amy Richardson and Mike and Lois DeVore. Okay, why don't you get across here in front of me here? Maybe you won't have to look at those folks and they won't bother you. Just get right here and look at me. There you go. All right. You know, it's always to me, it's always the good part is God's working. Okay, that's the important thing. God is working. God works in hearts and lives, different ways, different times. I've tried not to put a stamp on God and say, okay, God, this is how you got to do everything. I got you figured out. The Bible says the Spirit blows where he wills, and I think a lot of times we need to let him do his work. Okay, so, you know, we've got young, older, you know, all kinds of people coming and willingly to publicly make a statement of faith. So I have just a couple questions. They're very simple, but, you know, simple, but very important. You know, that we say, this is what I believe. And the first one is, do you admit you have sinned and need God's forgiveness? And that's real simple because, you know, I'm coming from the point that I need a Savior. And I have to admit that I've sinned. Now, it could be a real little itty-bitty sin. It could be a great big sin. Doesn't matter. The Bible says where sin runs deep, God's grace runs even deeper. So it doesn't matter. We've all sinned. We've all sinned. Not one worse than another. We all come from the same place. We've all sinned. So do you believe that you've sinned and you need God's forgiveness? If so, say, yes, I do. The next question is then, you know, okay, I admit I'm a sinner, so boy, I'm in trouble. You know, I'm coming from a bad place, you know, but boy, I accept that Jesus died on a cross, that God sent his son. He so loved the world, he sent his son and shed his blood to forgive that sin. So my question is, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the one who shed his blood to cleanse you from your sin? And if so, say, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Now, I don't know that this is the harder part. I'm not sure. But, you know, we make that confession. We accept God's forgiveness. But then, like I talked about today, then it's that walking it out, running the race, fighting a fight. That is so important. So important. This is not the end. It's a beginning. It's a beginning. And you have to keep going. You have to run the race. You have to finish. Some longer than others, but nobody knows the time. You know, we always assume one has more time than others, but we don't know the time. We don't know the time. So my next question and last question is, do you promise to walk in obedience to God's word and to fight the good fight all the days of your life? And if so, say, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these who have come today. Lord, have made their confession of faith in you, confessed their sins, and allowed you to forgive them. Lord, I pray now as we go and we publicly make that statement of faith, that, Lord, you just bless them. Lord, just let your Holy Spirit work in their hearts. Lord, just fill them with your love and your power and draw them to you. Lord, we just thank you for that. And, Lord, I pray you'd encourage us as a body, that, Lord, we're to stand beside one another. We're to encourage one another as we go through the fight. Lord, help us to be faithful to support them. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Okay, you're dismissed. We're going to go. We'll get ready, and we'll meet you down at the pond. If you have a need for prayer, Rose and Jim will be up here, and you can meet with them and get prayer.